ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. A beautiful day. It has just been gorgeous weather for a couple of weeks. I know that we could use a little rain, but we did some watering today. But it is just beautiful outside. A little bit warmer than it was a week ago, but still nice. So enjoy it, folks. Looks like it's going to stay this way for a while. Here on the Wednesday edition of the show, Dan's got some Troy basketball, women's basketball duties today, so he will not be in today, but ably filling in, Coach Don Dunn here. You've moved to the other side of the studio. You're usually over here on the right, but you're ceding that to Jason Caldwell. How you doing, Don?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
And I mentioned Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. JC, how's it going?
Good. Nice, you're right. Nice day. I've gone out to baseball the last 2 days.
So
it's great to go. This is better than
don't
baseball
you wish,
season.
Yeah, weather. I was going to say, don't you wish? Because baseball season is usually
freezing
extreme.
Cold and wet.
Yeah,
it's
or,
wet
or
and cold.
Cold. Or hot.
Yeah, yeah. It, when the end of the year, it's hot.
It's very rare that you have weather like this for as long as we've had it.
Yeah, about the end of March, early April is about the only time you hope that you can have this type of weather.
And it usually rains.
During actual baseball season. But, yeah, got out there, watched them a little bit, and, it's been nice to do those things and obviously get basketball kind of kick-started this weekend with a game against Furman. Baseball goes to Valdosta. They're playing one day, drive down, drive back, kind of old junior college day for them going to Valdosta State to play them in another 14-inning type game. And, you know, having all the construction here really made it impossible for them to be able to host a game. And so they went to play Tallahassee and Florida State.
Man, that's sort of fun when
those are good team bonding things when you start doing this.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, go on the road and you stay in a hotel and you kind of get that feel. This one is, okay, we're going to ride a bus all day and eat a lunch when we get there.
Well, you know, there are a lot of young guys on this team that are used to doing that.
They're used to doing that. Well, and here's the thing, too, is that like you'll go – When they get into a season, you want to have one day bus trip. Well, you do. You'll have one day bus trip to if you play UAB or a Sanford or Troy, something like that. So this will give you an idea of kind of doing some of those things too. But yeah, so they'll get to do some of that this weekend.
Now I was just talking with Tex a little while ago, and he was talking about the. Don even mentioned it as well. I mean, how things are really coming along. They're really, really moving now on all the renovations and additions.
I would say that by the time that people get to next Saturday and you come into town for the Vanderbilt game, the outside exterior is going to be bricked up.
It'll look like
what it's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. The inside, they're still working on it, doing some of those things. But I went through the locker room today. I showed y'all a couple of pictures of the lockers that have been installed. They've extended the locker room out to what was a training area. Now they've kind of put it inside the locker room, and so they've done some additions over there. It's really looking good. Obviously, continuing to add down the first baseline, and I think eventually, when you think about it, I think eventually we'll see this in the next 10, 12 years where you have club seating down the third baseline, adding and extending the roof a little bit, and then maybe seats and things on top of the batting facility in right field. And,
wow.
I was thinking about that, having type of thing to where you could also incorporate football season, Tiger Walk, have some sort of area. It would sell in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, when you get multi-seasonal.
Correct, and that's I think that's the key to everything that's being done. I think you think about – John Cohen and everybody involved, the Board of Trustees, you think about the North End Zone and the project there, thinking about not just using something for 7 days a year, but using something for 365 days a year and all these different things you can do with it. And that's how you build something that is sustainable and something that can be used year-round. That's a big deal, and I think they're doing some of those things in a really smart way.
Yeah, really, really exciting to just – think about this and can't wait. And a reminder to folks, you've only got a week left to get your baseball season tickets if you haven't already reordered.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see. And I think talking with a couple of coaches today, and Bill, you've been here longer than both of us. I grew up Auburn, and Don's been here for 25 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. The growth of Auburn has coincided. More people watch sports now because there's more people.
Mm-hmm.
There's more people going to games at Auburn basketball and baseball. It helps when you're good, but there's more people here.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You've got a much bigger base.
Yes. I mean, like, you know, 25 years ago, you look up and you go, 35, 40,000 people around. Mm-hmm. And if a school's not in session, it is quiet. There's never a quiet time at Auburn anymore. It is more quiet when students are here.
It's much more noticeable, yes,
But there are more people here. And so you look up and you go baseball games where you have 4,000 or 5,000 people at baseball games. Mm-hmm. And you have the ability to have things for people. I think it's you're starting to see some options and opportunities to really grow some sports on the Auburn campus.
Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here with Bill and Coach Don Dunn. We're just getting underway. Drew is at the controls once again. Love for you to join in anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Yes, we will. We'll get Jason's thoughts on last week's, another just tough loss that feels like Auburn shoulda, coulda. Won that ball game. Don, haven't really talked with you on the air since that. And then Auburn's got another one that looks to be, it's attainable.
Yep.
This Saturday night up in Lexington against the Kentucky Wildcats. As I don't know if you mentioned it on or off the air, but basketball season. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
The exhibition game in Greenville against Furman coming up. This Sunday as well, so I know some folks that are going to Lexington Saturday and are going to head over to Greenville on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a possibility. You can make that little trip through to see some of those things. Yeah, this basketball team is you won't get a lot of questions answered in week one, but you can start to see maybe some things that have to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Maybe you see that because you just don't know till you play another opponent.
Right.
And that's what's crazy about, basketball, I'm glad they do this. Football, maybe down the road they'll do something where in the spring you get to play another.
I hope so.
That would be good. I think a spring game like that would be awesome.
I think it would be great. Yeah. You could
for charity or whatever.
That's it. Yeah. See, that's where this thing can go.
Right.
You look at basketball and you go, okay,
right.
You can do these things.
I'm glad they're not having these quote secret.
The secret scrimmages where one side tells you what happens and the other side goes, no, we can't do that because it's an NCAA violation. Well, it's not an NCAA violation on the other side because they've got box scores. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor podcasts of the Drive. Don't forget, let's see, coming up at hour number two, it is Wednesday, so we'll have Tiger Takes with Eugene Asante coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Jason with us here in hour number one. Well, Jason, let's go ahead and get into your thoughts on another man. It's hard to keep. I'm come up with words. I mean, they're like gut punch one of those. They're really tough losses. Yeah. I mean, not a game where you just feel like, you didn't have a chance, you were out of it. It's a game where Auburn led, controlled it, felt like they had it, and saw it slip through their fingers.
And it's not one that you felt like you gave away. You had opportunities.
No, you're right.
You had opportunities to go win it, but you didn't give it away by turning it over a bunch and doing those things. You win the turnover battle 2-1. You have opportunities. And, I mean, once again, you look up and you go, any one of four plays in the game. You make any one of four plays and you win. If Robert Lewis catches the touchdown pass, you're up 24-6. They probably don't put quarterback back in the game.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I doubt that Brady Cook comes back in if they're down 18 in the fourth quarter.
And even if he does, you're not going to score 18. You make that play. The field goal still leaves it open a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but you miss the field goal and immediately – but it's still two touchdowns. It still becomes really difficult.
Well, the field goal means all you need is a field goal at the end of the game, too.
That's it, and you got options. So you look at those two plays are obvious ones. Then you look at two plays on defense. You look and hey, there's other opportunities on offense. You got the ball to 37. You have a two-yard loss on first down, and you back up, and you have to punt. But, boy, I mean, Oscar Chapman gives you everything you need. You punt it deep. They get to
twice.
Three and out.
Yeah.
Then you get a 95-yard drive. So there's two plays for me, third and seven, you blitz, and your safety gets caught in the wash, and you give up 14 yards outside. If you get a stop on third and seven, I thought it was a really good defensive call. You had it open, and you just get too far inside.
Mm-hmm.
And he spills where he's supposed to spill, and there's nobody there.
Right.
And you give up a play. And then you extend the drive, and then you have a third and 18, fourth and five.
Yep.
So you look up, and that's four or five plays where you make one of those plays.
You're right.
And that's what happens in situations like this. Me and Don were talking before. I did something with our Missouri site last week, and they're like, what do you think? I said, this is an Auburn team that absolutely can win any of the six games left on its schedule. And the Missouri folks were kind of beating me up a little bit. And then he saw me in the press box after the game. He goes, you're right. Because I said, they can win any of the six games left on the schedule, but they also cannot find a way to make a play. I said, it reminds me of Missouri in 2022. That Missouri team came here and absolutely gave one away. That's as bad as you can get one away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They also led Georgia the next week at home and lost 25-22. They lost a three-point game to Florida, then had another close loss, and they went 6-7. That 2 years ago, Missouri could have won 9 or 10 games.
Mm-hmm. And then last year they won 11.
The next year they won 11.
And this year they're winning, again, they're winning close games because they're used to it. I mean, they believe.
They figured out how to win games. Mm-hmm. This team has not figured out how to win games, and it's hard when your older guys are the guys that aren't making the plays.
Right.
Right now, your younger guys are the guys that are making the plays. The older guys are the guys you look at and going, man, you can't keep making that mistake, or you got to make that play. So that's why I think we're going to see more young guys. If there's any question at all, and you go, man, is it even close? If it's even close right now, you play some younger guys. Now, you still got to go win, and I don't think it's close at quarterback. Even though people might think it is, I don't think it is. I think it's you still have a guy that's far out ahead of the others.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's because he can run his running ability. I think
true.
The offensive line still, the issues you have there have made it really tough to put a guy back there that can't run at quarterback.
I was wondering, we were talking about this and had a couple of questions about Tyler Johnson. We haven't seen him in a while, and there have been problems,
obviously,
at tackle.
I think the biggest thing for them right now is recognition. Tyler had some issues with it early, and Percy Lewis has really struggled with it. Georgia started it a few weeks ago, stemming and moving before the snap to change your eyesight. First play of the game last week, they do that. Percy just whiffs on a guy.
Absolutely.
You've got probably a 15-yard gain if all he does is get in front of the guy. You give up a sack on play one. It showed up against Georgia a couple of weeks ago as well. Well, they didn't wait. One series, they went straight to Dylan Wade, moved Braden Joyner into left guard. I thought it got better. But now, okay, is that what you do moving forward? Because you're going to see more of that. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to keep doing it, going, hey, look, they have problems with this. And so they're going to keep doing it. I think Tyler Johnson physically is a guy that's going to be a guy. I just think they're concerned about the movement impacting them in terms of leaving some guys unblocked, some of that stuff. And unfortunately, the only way to get there is by playing. But by playing, you may also have a bunch of mistakes along the way too.
Yeah, you brought up a great point, and something that I mentioned to a couple of folks is you want to play those young guys, you want to get them experience, but you desperately, I mean, you need a win.
Yeah.
You need a win, and you can't just ignore some of the guys that you feel like these guys give me the best chance to win.
Yeah, you can't wholesale play young guys if the guys on the field know that's not the best guy. Now, if they say, hey, this guy's really good, he gives us a great chance to win, that's fine. But you can't start just going, well, we're going to roll all the young guys out there and just play them for experience. Because then the other guys are going, well, he shouldn't be playing. He's not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you look out there right now and you go, Malik Blockman, that guy's ready. And DeMarcus Riddick and Amaris Williams and the young guys at corner. And, I mean, obviously the wide receivers. I mean, we may see DeAndre Carter some this week at guard as a true freshman. I think there's some areas where you can go, hey, let's keep seeing some of these guys and see if they give us a little bit of a boost.
I thought There's no reason not to that I can imagine right now. All right, 334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to the phone before we get to our first break. And Spectre gets us started. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Don, I guess that's you there too, right?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great. And, of course, my favorite, JC.
Yes, sir. You doing good?
Yep. Yeah. It sounds like to me you're singing a little bit different tune than last week about getting some more young talent into the ball game.
Well, I think there's still a fine line. You're not giving up on a season, but you also have younger guys that are making plays. So I think you can still go, hey, you still try to win without throwing the bathwater out, kind of. So I do think there's things you can do on both sides. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Last week I wasn't talking about wholesale putting 11 freshmen in.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think there are opportunities, and I think you see more of those opportunities now. When you see an opportunity for a young guy, and like I said, an older guy has had opportunities and isn't making plays, then you go, okay, let's give. Are you ready to maybe go 70 plays? Maybe not, but maybe you're 10 to 15 at a time, and especially, I think third down, we saw last week, Hugh Freeze talked about it, third down defense, pass rush, maybe you get a Morris and maybe a TJ Lindsey on the field to give you a little bit fresher legs at times.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about. Bill, I still got enough time, or are you going to break?
No, go ahead.
Okay. JC, I was hearing Coach say, I can't remember exactly what he said, because I'm taking it out of context, but that it's kind of tough on him to manage everything. And it makes sense now. I believe what he's saying is true, because we hired this man to recruit for us, which he's done an excellent job, but he hasn't developed a quarterback at all. And I think that's where he dropped the ball at. Last year, I feel 2023 is the same as this year. And we have a, you know, everybody can say that Peyton Thorne has improved. That may be true on certain pass plays, but as a captain of the team, he fails miserably. And anyway, I was thinking that if you had the opportunity to ask the AD, what does he think of our coach at this point? And just like you ask the coach about a player that ain't performing that well, would you ask the AD what's going on with Coach?
Yeah, I mean, I can ask him. We had him on our show 2 weeks ago, I think, and he started talking about trying to build a roster when you don't have many good players on the roster to begin with. He's a coach. He understands what you take over. And I was here in 99 when Don and these guys took over a roster that wasn't very good. That roster was better than the roster Hugh Freeze and these guys took over. Now you got some transfer portals, so you have some things that you can work with a little bit. But should you be better than 2-5? Absolutely. Are there still a lot of holes on a roster? Yes, I think John Cohen can see both sides of that. Going, look, there's some things we absolutely got to win some games here. But I think he understands that you either have two ways to go about it. You either go, hey, we're going to go spend $5 million and go get a bunch of old guys and try to build a roster that absolutely is going to win right now. Or you go, we're going to try to develop, especially on the lines of scrimmage, because that's the thing. You're not going to win with a bunch of young guys on the offensive line and defensive line, but you got to go recruit them. And so you look and go, you hope you get some guys in the transfer portal that you can win with on the lines of scrimmage. You can win with young wide receivers and DBs and young running backs, but you can't win with young linemen. And you try to bridge the gap as much as you can and hope you hit, you know, Dylan Wade's a good player. And you look up and I think obviously Jalen McLeod's been a good player. They've gotten some good players, but by and large, you're not going to go out and get a bunch of NFL ready guys in the transfer portal on the line of scrimmage. And that makes it really difficult when you're having to go and go plug in and play. And so I think John Cohen would tell you, hey, should we be 2-5? No, but also see what direction things are going as you build a program back to trying to compete with those guys that you're playing.
Yes, very good. Listen, we got 8 freshman linemen, okay? Are they taking at least 5 of those guys and working them together? Do you know that?
You're talking about the offensive line?
Yeah, the offensive linemen. And working them as a team.
Well, you have guy, like I said, DeAndre Carter is working with the 2s and with the 1s. Braden Joyner has been with the 1s. And you're getting, but some of those guys have to shift across and be on scout team if they're not working in the first 2 groups yet. But they'll get some work during bye weeks, those things. But yeah, as far as offensive line, DeAndre Carter was the only high school guy last year, I believe. Was there 2 before that? I'm trying to remember who else was. You had a couple of guys. Tyler Johnson redshirted. Mm-hmm. A couple of guys. Obviously, you know, Connor Lou's already playing. And then you'll have 6 committed this year that you'll get in. And I think at least 5 of those guys will be in January. So you'll have a chance to start kind of getting them together
as a group
as you get in the spring.
Okay, Jason, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the call, Spectre. We need to get now. Yeah, we'll get to our first break. Plenty of time for you to join in, though, as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
The Edward Via College.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Yeah, I don't know why, but I started thinking as Spectre was talking about playing young guys as a group. I thought, gee, that was one of the benefits in the old days when you used to have JV football. Yeah. I mean, it's not feasible anymore with the with everybody trying to play. You know, if a player can help you, you want to play, it'd be great for the few that you know you're going to redshirt, something like that. But then the cost and, you know, scheduling and facilities and everything just makes it unfeasible. But I don't know why. I just sort of flashed back to the old days of JV when you'd see some guys that weren't getting playing time with the varsity and sometimes guys that could show enough to make that move up.
Right. Yeah, it was fun. When I was – like we were talking in the break – when I was at Tennessee as a GA, we had a couple of JV games, and we loved it because we got to go coach and be big time and travel on the bus, like you were saying.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun.
Hey, you know, Auburn and Alabama would always play. Back in the day, there'd be an open date between the Georgia game and the Alabama game, and during that open week would be when the Auburn and Alabama JVs would play. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Back to the phone we go, and Rob is up next. Hey, Rob.
Hey, yeah. Why did we stop doing JV games? I know when I was at Auburn, Sunday afternoons, it was a great way to sweat out a hangover, watch the JV games. And it was just a lot of fun. And also, Coach Dunn's on here.
Yep.
We need – I got 2 boys and 2 girls. And they've actually told me, Dad, you know, you are so hard and ruthless on us growing up, but thank you. And I'm like, well, whatever, a compliment from your kids. But we need coaches like you, Coach Dunn, developing these guys, because the only people any of us ever remember from our growing up years are the teachers and the coaches who were just relentless on us. And, you know, I look at Auburn right now, and Jason's on our show a lot. He's so good at chronicling what goes on at Auburn. Bill, of course, and you. But Auburn's like a stock that's got a lot of products in the pipeline, like a pharmaceutical company that are in phase 2 and phase 3 of clinical trials with the FDA. And right now Auburn's cheap, but it's a great long-term buy because Auburn people – will explode if it doesn't get better. And that's a good thing. Right now, it's like trying to pass a kidney stone without any, you know, antibiotics or whatever. But I'm just curious, Coach, looking at this roster, when you came in, my friend Mark Parra played for Auburn, was an offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with Mark for 5 years. And he said Auburn was kind of a poor man's Miami at that time. And y'all fix things pretty fast. And the players were more afraid of the Auburn coaches, you and Coach Coverville and Coach Nall, than they were of the Auburn Police Department. I won't get into that, but I just want you to talk about the development part of it and the day-in and day-out relationships. And I'll bet you a sack full of crystals, not a day goes by you don't get calls from players that thank you for being the way you were and the way you are. Anyway, I'll just hang up and listen. Love the show.
Good hearing from you, Rob.
Good hearing from you, Rob.
I appreciate that, Rob, for the compliments. But, yeah, I think it has changed a lot, whether it's good or bad, the way coaches coach because of the portal. And I would hate to think that I had to worry about me changing my philosophy or the way I coach or what I believed in because a kid might get his feelings hurt and leave. But I do know that is a problem. That's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to be a coach. Do what you believe in, and if that's being a hard nose, you know, stickler for every little thing. I think what's hurting us, too, is the little things. We're getting beat by little things that need to be corrected, and you do that in practice. But, yeah, it's a different time and day, and I hate to say that, but I miss coaching. I really do, but I don't miss the part of the portal.
Yeah, and you'd like to have to recruit your guys every year.
Yeah, or every day.
every day.
Well, that's something that Hugh Freeze has talked about. I mean, over the last few weeks, he's mentioned it more. And a couple of weeks ago, he said, he has to be concerned with how he's coaching. But after, I guess it was after the Oklahoma or the Georgia game, he said, I've just got to coach the way I've got to coach.
The other part is too is that's part of the reason why. Building from the high school ranks is so important because your relationships with those guys are much deeper than they are a guy who goes in the transfer portal and you go, hey, I've got 24 hours to make a decision. Who's in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't really know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, he's an okay player. He would really help us, but you don't know him. You don't know how well he takes. You know those guys that have come to camp and you've sat down with their parents mm-hmm. and like – that's why building things has more sustainability because you're more likely to keep those guys. And there's another thing. I think you're more likely to keep guys that you recruit closer to home.
Oh, I agree.
I think it's much harder for a guy from Birmingham to leave than it is a guy from Dallas or
California.
And you go, hey, I'm not having any fun. Well, I'm going home.
No doubt.
And so I think recruiting state of Alabama is even more important now than it's ever been.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, there's so many good players within 100 miles of our campus.
How much different is it? I mean,
yeah,
y'all get here in 1999, there was probably a dozen guys you go, that guy's got a chance.
Right.
Now there's 40 guys that you go, that guy's got a chance.
Yeah. Well, if you keep it within, you know, reasonable driving distance of, say, you know, 3 or 4 hours –
mm-hmm.
You've got an awful lot.
You start just bumping to Atlanta, and you go.
Yeah, I mean, let's say a couple of hundred miles.
Yeah,
200, 250 miles.
You've got
there
100
a lot and, of players.
You got 125 legitimate SEC guys, and easy.
Yeah,
easy
and
number.
And just mm-hmm. look how good the local high schools have become.
Unbelievable.
Central, Opelika, Auburn.
Yes.
There's enough talent. Yep. I mean, there's 3 or 4 on each team.
And that's it. And you start going, okay, get your fair share.
Right.
Get to Birmingham.
Keep them home.
Get a couple of guys out of Montgomery.
Right.
Go to South Alabama. Get a couple of guys.
Mm-hmm.
South Georgia.
Yeah, and you start looking at it, and yes, and then you go, okay, you go to Atlanta, because Atlanta even, there's always been players in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the programs now, and people in this state will go, man, Thompson and Central and those things. But having – you know, I get a chance to go and watch these guys, and I'm like, the difference is Thompson and Central will have 4 or 5. They'll have 4 or 5 guys. You go, man, that guy looks like an SEC guy. Grayson and Milton and Buford will have 15 or 20 of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you start going, you tap into those programs, and all of a sudden you go, hey, 3 or 4 guys a year from those areas. You get other visitors and start. They're able to do some of those things right now. And now if you keep them in and – we talked to guys this week, like Jay Crawford from Atlanta, and he said, what's your message? And he goes, guys, just keep believing because it's coming.
And that, to me, when I've heard those comments, you see the comments from Deuce Knight,
yeah.
those guys, that really,
You know, one of the things Auburn people have been saying is, you know, they're looking for some hope.
There's a belief
there. That is something that gives you hope.
When players believe it, we talked to Keldrick Falk. He goes, and I'm doing a story, and I just did a quote. And let me see if I can find the exact quote.
But yeah, because Keldrick Falk is someone.
He said, everybody knows we haven't played our best ball all season. We definitely want to put our best foot forward this coming up Saturday and show progression for the rest of the season. That's our main team goal, to keep progressing, just to make each other better on Saturdays, go out there and prove it. They feel like they're close, and it feels like to me they're close.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Can you make a couple
They've
of those
They've got to make, you know, just make that play, make the play that gets them over the hump one and gets
time,
a win.
One right. time, and you look up and you go, all of a sudden, man.
We can do it.
Correct.
Right.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline here on The Drive.
.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 22 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. Jason, yeah, enough with looking back because, I mean, Auburn has another opportunity this week. Kentucky, yes, they knocked off Ole Miss. That's their only conference win, and they almost beat Georgia. But, I mean, they
feel like such outliers.
Yeah.
Because when you watch them, I mean, the last time we got to see them play, they just get destroyed by Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't see that one.
No,
coming,
I mean, I thought Florida was going to win because I just didn't think this Kentucky team was very good. But I didn't think I would see Florida score almost 50. This Kentucky team defensively has been pretty good.
They have.
They're physical, and you look at them. I mean, they're still 12th nationally in total defense, and you go, man, that's pretty amazing considering that you know you just gave up 476 yards to Florida, and you're still 12th nationally. I mean, Georgia had 262 yards of total mm-hmm. offense against Kentucky. Ole Miss had 353. Vanderbilt had 288. And so you look at it and go, which one is it? Is this a team that somebody's kind of figured out? But Florida had guys running wide open the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, the way that one looked last week, it looked like Kentucky's a team that's lost five or six in a row, and they're ready to toss in the towel.
And they have not. I mean, they're 2-10 their last 12 SEC games at home. They have not played very well.
Yeah, they
can't.
They have not. They haven't won a conference game. If Auburn wins, they're winless at home in the conference.
Yeah, and so you look. This is obviously when you start talking about, you know, people talking about games and this game and that game. You look at it, and I mean, Kentucky's 3-4, and you go, they got Tennessee, Murray State, Texas, and Louisville left. And you go, you win this game, you're still going to – all right, you beat Murray State, you're going to be a bowl game. I mean, no, excuse me. You're still going to have to beat Tennessee, Texas, right, or Louisville. You lose this game, it's over with.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to be a bowl team. And that's a team that people had expectations for, mm-hmm, too.
Right, right.
You haven't won at home. They are throwing a whole lot into this game. Now, that means a lot of pressure on them, too. But you look at it – I would be shocked if either one of these teams scores more than 24.
Yep.
It feels like a grinded
out
football
game. It really does.
It
feels like 20 may, you know, may get you the win.
I think I picked 20-17, to be quite mm-hmm. honest. I think it feels like a
grind. I think I went 23-16.
There are every game's turnovers. You go, like, every game.
Right.
This feels like one where can you run the football and can you make the other team throw it? Whichever team does that the best, that feels like that's the team that's going to have a great chance to win.
Yeah, Brock Vandegrift has he's been up and down. I mean, really struggled.
167 yard passing game. That's Kentucky. 167.9 mm-hmm. yards passing per game for an SEC team.
You know, he looked like he was starting to really improve some, and then the last couple of ball games it's been a struggle again.
It has. And it's one of those games where there's you either go one of two ways. The pressure, you either succumb to it, or you go, man, this is our opportunity, and you go take it. I mean, this is a great opportunity for Kentucky. It is, but it's mm-hmm. a good opportunity for Auburn too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think either team, mm-hmm. and both of them feel like, Auburn. I mean, we said it a couple of weeks ago. Auburn needed to win at least one of the games on the road.
That's it.
And they still have that opportunity to do it.
Still got the opportunity.
They win this one. then they can win the next couple of ball games.
Give yourself a chance to win one of the last two.
Right.
And
that be an improvement. Well, that actually could get you to seven if you do that, right?
Yeah.
No,
it gets you to six. Yeah. So you win one of the you win this one, and then you go, hey, try to you know you got Vandy, you got ULM. I mean, it won't be easy, but if you get a little confidence,
if they can win this one, they can win.
Correct.
It's sort of like the feeling was, a couple of weeks ago. If you lose, they're liable to lose again.
And that's it. You just got to find a way to make a play and. I think it's, it's not as simple as that. But I mean, even thinking back to like 2004,
mm-hmm.
an undefeated team. I mean, you could do it in 2010, 2004, LSU, find a way to make a play at the end of the game. You get the big fourth down conversion. You get the touchdown catch, and all of a sudden, people go, the entire team felt different.
Right.
You felt like, okay, well, we're ready now. 2010, you got to survive Clemson. I mean, as good as that team was, you go, man, that team had to win an overtime game against even Mississippi State on a third. That was not a cakewalk game. Find a way to make one, and when you do that, you go, okay, maybe take a deep breath now and go play football.
Yeah. All right. You're always there. You're always there on the sideline. I had somebody ask me, what was the team's reaction, how was the team reacting? Because a couple of people have said, man, the team looked like, it was 17-3, that the sidelines were about as lively as they'd seen, and they wondered, how was it? Could you feel sort of the players feeling like, oh, man, here we go again?
I don't know
again.
If it was them. I felt it. I don't know that they felt it. But as soon as you miss the field goal and Brady Cook runs on the field and the crowd cheers –
oh, and you get the 78-yard pass, too.
And you get incompletion. You go, okay, you're fine. And then you miss a tackle in the middle of the field where mm-hmm. you have, I think, another perfect defense called where you might give up a first down. But as long as you don't give up a play and make them drive the length of the field.
Right.
And as soon as that happens, you go. And it, like I said, as a team, as a player, you're still playing hard, but it has to impact you. It's just human nature to go, oh, here we go again. You might not say it out loud.
No.
And you might be telling yourself that we're still good.
We're not going to let it happen, but you can't get that out of your mind.
It's just part of it. It's just what it is. When it creeps on you, it's just there. And no, I felt it immediately. And honestly, like Robert Lewis fell at my feet. Like it was he was right underneath me when he drops that touchdown pass. And at that point even I'm like, that could be big because you don't get many opportunities to have a play like that. Because Missouri's and that's a good defense.
It is.
And you go up, you score 24 points, go up, and yeah, one of those was on a punt, but you go 24-6 and you go, that's a pretty good way of playing so far in this game. I felt it probably as much about me as anything because I could feel that I've seen this before. And hey, been through seasons before where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It just happens that way sometimes. But, can you make one of those plays go your way and it can turn around just as quickly.
Yeah, and the other thing that that people want to talk about is, and you've sort of addressed it, talking about some of the young players and their attitude heading in. I still haven't seen, and to me this is a credit to the coaches and the players that – I mean, they haven't just gone ahead and said, that's it. We'll better luck next year."
It happens, and we've seen it happen here before.
Oh.
But it is very rare that you see guys just go, "I'm gonna mail it in." You might have a player, but to see a team do it, it just doesn't happen. Like you might not play well, and it might be more of the preparation from Tuesday to Saturday than it is. When you get on a game day on Saturday, you only have 12 of these things. Normally guys are going to go, "Hey, man, I want to go play hard."
Yeah.
But it might be the preparation where you go, "Ha, we're 2-6.
Yeah.
It might impact you a little bit there, but it doesn't. If it impacts you on Saturday, then you need to check what you are because, like, you don't have many of these opportunities. And to go give one away just because, the season's not going good, I think you can find somebody else that'll go out there and play pretty hard.
Don, Rob was sort of talking about this, something in the same genre, about coaching. When you're coaching and things aren't going so well, that's when you've got to make sure that the players aren't thinking, well, you know, I've worked real hard and what's it gotten me? Maybe I don't have to work as hard.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a fine line, like you guys were saying. But as a coach, I think the more consistent you are every day, whether you're winning or losing, you can't let them see you panic. And a lot of times coaches will panic. And I've seen coaches throw in the towel, Jason.
No.
And you have too.
Yeah.
And that is really when you have problems.
Oh, yeah.
But
if it's coming from the top.
Yeah, yes. I mean it's
that, and that's where you have there's no solution. No
hope. Right. I think you just got to be consistent. Every day, you know, you got to love them up, coach them hard, love them up. And that's the thing. They know their coaches.
And that's where when a coach panics,
right,
it can be really detrimental. That's how you have to be careful about playing too many young guys.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is a great, great statement. I worry about that a little bit, you know, and it's easy for me to sit here on, you know, Wednesday and talk about, okay, now, but when you're, you know, out at Missouri and it's 4th-and-1, 4th-and-3, what I call, I don't want to do this, I want to do that, but you have to have a plan and stick with it and what you believe in.
All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one, final segment with Jason coming up when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
This November, our country.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one. Thought we had Specter again, but I guess we lost him. But we've got a few minutes here, Jason, before we I hate it when we run up against the music playing, and I ask you, you know, what all's going on. There is so much. You talked some baseball a little while ago. Basketball is about to get underway, and you know, a week from Friday, the first exhibition game, the exhibition game here this Sunday, exhibition game up in Greenville, and football. I mean, there's so many different things going on right now that you guys are really staying on top of there at Auburn Undercover.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on. This is, you know, it's not quite spring where you have spring football and all the seasons kind of converging at once, but there's a lot going on right now mm-hmm. when you talk about fall. And so, yeah, looking forward to that. Obviously, we'll be in Lexington Saturday, 7:45 local time
right.
kickoff, and I just looked, and it's 62-38 for
gonna
Saturday.
Going to be chilly.
A little That's chilly right. down on the sidelines. So this will probably be – I mean, one of the colder games. I mean, you think about it, even you know, the Iron Bowl and games like that aren't as cold as we've seen in the past sometimes. Oh. So this may be as chilly as a game. I had a memory.
It's been a pretty warm season.
Had a memory this week, though. Somebody was talking about cold games, and I was like, there's nothing that will compare to that 2000 Iron Bowl game because somebody said 93 Arkansas where it snowed. I said, I don't care. The 93, it wasn't as cold as that game
was. Because it was wetter.
It was wet and nasty.
It was wetter and cold. Sleet.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
I was standing in about 3 inches of ice water.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll have all that. I think we'll be able to get some information from the basketball game, so have some things from that. Obviously, baseball, try to get some reaction from Valdosta on the weekend as well. But football things, I think Christian's planning on going to Elba Friday night. Alvin Henderson is 256 yards away from 10,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
he's averaging 11 or 12 yards a carry and close to 200 yards a game this year.
Got the Alabama Mississippi All-Star roster. And so if I can run down a little bit of that. Derek Smith, Auburn commitment from Southside Selma, is in the game. Peyton Plott, Auburn High School. Mm-hmm. Hugh Botterford, Auburn High School, is in the game as well. Spencer Dolan, offensive lineman from Athens, is in the game as well. That's an Auburn commitment. Let's see who else we have. Antonio Coleman, Auburn defensive lineman from Saraland. Mm-hmm. Jordan Crawford, Auburn defensive lineman from Parker. Jared Smith, Auburn defensive lineman from Thompson. Malik Autry, Auburn defensive lineman from Opelika. All those guys are in the game. Ja'Caleb Falk, Keldrick's younger brother from Holland Home.
That's serious representation in, there on the defensive
he
front.
He is in the game as well. Naeem Alford, Timothy Merritt, two guys. Auburn's still recruiting Naeem Alford from Parker. He's in the game. Eric Winters, Auburn safety. Anquan Fagans, Auburn safety. So both Auburn safety commitments in the game as well. And so that's pretty good representation
from the state of Alabama.
Guys there. And obviously you know, you start looking at it, Alvin Henderson in the game. So
yeah, I was going to say, that would be a shock if he weren't.
Yeah, Alvin Henderson, two quarterbacks. K.J. Lacy committed to Texas from Sayreland. And then Mason Mims committed to Louisville from Oxford. So you got a couple of D1 guys.
The talent in the state.
Mason Mims plays for our boy Sam at Oxford.
Sam Adams. Yeah. So
some good players in the state. Should be a good team. And obviously Mississippi, Deuce Knight is in the game on the other side. That'll be a talented team with Caleb Cunningham. It's in Mobile this year, so looking forward to that and seeing how it goes.
That's great.
Is that in January or December?
In December.
They moved it.
Yep, okay. It is in December, so they play that. I'm trying to remember the exact date if I can find it. Yes, it'll be sometime in December, usually about the middle of December. So,
Jason, really appreciate it. Always great having you in here. Have a great trip up to Lexington.
Absolutely, December 14th.
Okay. All right. Yep. Be safe.
We're back with hour number two. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this nice-looking Wednesday afternoon. It's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Dan has got some Troy women's basketball duties going on. I believe they're having their preseason banquet this evening. So he's down in Troy. And Coach Dunn here with me in the studio along with Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, who was with us in hour number one. If you missed any of Jason or missed any of our shows, you can check out the podcasts of The Drive wherever you get your podcasts, and those are sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor The Drive text box. You can text us at 334-564-1840. Of course, you can also call us on The Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and that's sponsored by Skybar, where we will be on Friday. Looking forward to being there as Skybar getting ready for their big Halloween contest. So we'll be there Friday. Don, you're going to be there as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I won't have my costume on, though.
Now, let's see. Yeah, I didn't realize, man, Kathy has collected quite a few things through the years from at work. Mm-hmm. They would have different they dress up as different things. I didn't realize she had some of the costumes that she had. She was going through a box of like all kinds of things just a little earlier today. So there's no telling what she'll be there on when the trick or treaters come around.
Right.
But we'll be at Skybar on Friday. So looking forward to that. We'd love for you to join us here in hour number two of The Drive. Don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have Tiger Takes with Eugene Asante, presented by 12K Salon. So that is coming up then. But until then, phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment, thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports, we talked obviously a good bit of football. Looking ahead toward Kentucky this Saturday, and Don, I mean, I know it has been such a frustrating, disappointing season for Auburn up to this point. But this is another opportunity. It's a winnable game that Auburn has coming up Saturday night in Lexington.
Yeah, you know, I am from Kentucky, Bill, and I've got some friends there, and there's a lot of pressure on that group too now. They're not happy with what's going on. They've been on Stoops all week.
Yeah, I did not realize when Jason said earlier they've lost 10 of their last 12 yes, SEC games.
Yes, and they're very, very low in the rankings, you know, statistic-wise. So it is a great opportunity for Auburn. And you know the thing about kids, and you know, Bill, they're resilient. Yeah, we're disappointed as fans, but these kids, they're disappointed. But about Monday afternoon, Tuesday, they start getting ready for the next game. That's the nice thing about being young. Now, as a coach, you still worry. But these kids, they'll be ready to play. I really believe that. I have not seen any quit in
anybody. No, I have not either. And that's one of the things. Yeah, I mentioned that to Jason. Yeah. And you're hearing some of the young guys really talking about they know it's coming and don't give up and really right. looking forward to right. not just like, okay, we're looking at next year now,
yeah.
but like they're really looking for the opportunity to show what they can do to even increase the excitement that yeah. there is for the future.
And another thing about the Kentucky game, Stoops has been there. He's one of the longest yeah, tenured coaches in the conference. So there is a lot of pressure.
Has anybody?
I think he is
the longest tenured since coach in the SEC.
But anyway, that puts even more pressure on Kentucky. You know, we're in the second year of Coach Freeze. So, you know, I think he's been there 11 or maybe 12 years or something like that. But that puts more pressure on
Kentucky. This would be year 12.
Yeah.
2013.
So it's not like he's in a rebuilding deal like we are. So that puts a lot of pressure on him and his staff and his players. But they have not lived up to, you know, the expectations going into the season.
Yeah, they have only had one winning record in the conference since 2018.
Yeah.
And that was 2021 when they went 10-3. But, I mean, the fact is, they have been just 7-6. Well, since 2018, 8-5, 5-6, then 10-3, 7-6, 7-6, 3-4. But the conference marks, he's 36-59.
Yeah,
in conference play, 59 of his 69 losses have come in conference. That's not a big surprise, but yeah, I mean Kentucky. You hear folks go, oh well, it's Kentucky football. They're okay with 8 wins. Well, the problem is there has only been 8 wins, one time since 2019.
Yeah, there's a lot of grumblings and there's a lot of pressure on them. So let's hope that they're the ones worried about making a mistake, you know, or turning the ball over. And I think we have a great chance.
Well, Kentucky has struggled offensively. I mean, yes. I know Auburn has. So, I mean, I don't disagree with Jason that points are probably going to be hard to come by.
Right.
You wouldn't expect either team to be able to really roll up the points. I think Auburn's more capable of doing it, but they seem to, you know, find something to prevent them from getting in the end zone. Auburn's been very dangerous, very good between the 30s.
Right.
Once they get from the 30 and then into the red zone and on in, it's been a different story. And it's been different things. It was turnovers early in the season. It was, some missed assignments yep. and penalties. I mean, it seems like it's a situation of, you know, if they didn't have bad luck, they wouldn't have any luck at all.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you know, at very inappropriate times, they make those mistakes. But I believe that Auburn has shown the potential to be able to score more. They've just got to click. But Kentucky, as I said, I mean, they have struggled. Kentucky is dead last in the SEC in scoring at just over 20 points a ball game. I mean, not that Auburn's anything to, shout from the rooftops about, but Auburn averaged 28.
Yeah.
But that of course, includes 73.
Right.
In the opening game. So, but you start looking at a defense, that's where Kentucky has made, you know, their name. And as Jason said earlier, they're 12th in the nation in total defense. They're fourth in the SEC in total defense. And that's after giving up nearly 500 yards to Florida last week. But on the season, Kentucky's only giving up 284 yards a game.
Yeah, they played better defense. But again, you know, what happened at Florida? I mean, I didn't see that one coming like you mentioned earlier.
No, I mean, I thought Florida had a really good chance of winning because right. they're playing a little better.
Right.
I didn't think they'd do that, and especially after they lost Graham Mertz.
Right.
I thought, you know, Lagway, I thought, was a guy that could be up or down. Well, he was really on the other day against Kentucky.
Yeah, that was a big shock, the score. But I'm like you. I thought Florida would have a chance at Florida. But, yeah, I think, you know, this is going to be an interesting game, but it's a game very winnable for us. So we just got to go up and take care of business. It is a late start. It's going to be cooler.
Yep.
You know, they're running Keeneland, so they're going to move their games tonight this time of year when the horses are running.
Yeah, you know, again, statistically, a lot of very similar numbers. Kentucky is allowing a little over 19 points a game. Auburn averaging giving up a little less than 21 a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, both teams playing pretty good defense. The Auburn defense, Don, I want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, I thought they played really well for most of the game. They had a breakdown, as Jason said, on a big play that set up, gave them, you know, first and goal, and then they were able to score to cut Auburn's lead to four, actually three, because they went for two. But then I was really surprised, because it didn't appear that Missouri would be able to take the ball and go the length of the field in as many plays. They went 95 yards in 17 plays against an Auburn defense that I thought had played, with the exception of that one play, had played really well throughout the ball game, and they'd only been on the field for 50-something snaps before that.
Yeah, very unfortunate, that drive, but I agree with you. I think we've played pretty good defense all year. If you look at each game, we've had a chance to win, and our defense have kept us in it. That was just an unfortunate drive. You know, it seemed like we were right there, you know, getting ready to get them off the field, and then something would happen, a penalty or
a lot of credit to Brady Cook on that.
Right,
he made a couple of plays with his legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the question, you know, was he he really appeared to have trouble trying to just, you know, hobble off the field and into the locker room before he went to the hospital. So whatever they did, I mean, it worked great. That's why, you know, I wonder a little bit about them this week. What will he look like this week against Alabama? I would think it's more likely that he's going to be bothered more by it this week than he was after he came back against Auburn.
Yeah, I would agree, because, you know, when you have an injury like that, usually the day or two after is when the pain and the swelling or whatever occurs.
You know, as I look through the SEC stats, and here's the one again, this points out how Auburn has not been able to capitalize. I mean, we talked about the scoring numbers and the defensive numbers and how even those are. But Auburn is averaging more than 100 yards per game more than Kentucky is.
Yeah.
That tells you, well, they've moved the ball, but they can't cash in.
Between the 20s, we are very good, like you said. And it's just going to take one little deal to get us in the end zone and get our confidence back.
You know, I've been saying that for a few weeks. The problem is, and I think Auburn still has multiple opportunities to do that, but the longer it goes without doing it, it feels like your odds keep decreasing on ever actually getting it done.
Yeah, you're right. You start to doubt yourself even more, but we need something good to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to the phone, and Josh is up first. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
Hey, I really wanted to get Coach Dunn's perspective, just being from kind of being in coaching and that, just being able to have more of a – but, like, I'm really – well, I don't know if y'all listen to much like what Darryl Daffers and some of their stuff they put out. I do, and I'm kind of in the agreement of, like, I just wanted to get Coach Dunn's thoughts on, like, should we be worried about, like, Hugh Freeze as a, like, the coaching, like, on-field adjustments, like, preparation. I'm not worried about recruiting, but, like, there is a lot of worry about, like, I'm not, you know, if you can't, sometimes the best coaches do the most with whatever they have on their hands, on the roster. And we have talent, and I don't know, it's a little concerning that we're not seeing improvements, like, in a lot of areas. I don't know. It just just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. I know maybe that question didn't make much sense, but just kind of hang up and listen to your thoughts on that. Have a good day, guys.
Appreciate it, Josh.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I don't know how much talent. You know, we say we have a lot of talent. We have some talent. I don't think we have talent in every area that we need yet. Yes, recruiting's going great. It's going to help us down the road. But sometimes you just don't have the same talent as your opponent, and that comes across as poor coaching or not being able to make adjustments. I think we have a good staff. I really do. I haven't seen anything that would make me think that they don't know what they're doing or what they're talking about or what they're trying to get across. Maybe they need to cut some things out. You know, I don't know. But I don't see that problem of coaching yet. Now, you know, maybe if the same things are happening next year with better talent, then maybe you can go back and say, well, it is coaching. But right now I think it's just bad breaks, turnovers, which you can coach and coach and coach, but you still got to be able to hold on to the football. And that's not the coach's fault. That's, you know, sometimes not being as talented, sometimes bad breaks, bad luck, whatever you want to call it. But I don't think it is coaching. I think we're just not as talented in some areas that we will be if we continue with what we're doing recruiting-wise.
However, I'll say this, though, Don. Auburn has been talented enough to have won a couple of the ball games they didn't win. I think that's where that's coming from everybody. I mean, I've had some of the same thoughts, thinking, you know, feeling like, and when you're in this many close games, you ought to win your share of them. I mean, of course, the fact that doesn't mean you will. Sometimes sometimes it just feels like you're snake bit, and it's just not going to be one of your years. I mean, have you ever had a year that?
Oh yeah, I've had many of them. And if you coach as long as I did, you're going to have years where it just seems like nothing goes right. You know, you're going for the winning drive or the winning touchdown, and you get a penalty. You have 12 men on the field. Now, stuff like that is coaching.
Right.
I have not seen a lot of that 12 men on the field. You know, I know it's happened. It happens in the pros.
Sure.
But I just don't see the total lack of coaching. I think the biggest problem is all of our turnovers early killed us in those games. Now, we have improved on that, but you can't have – I think we were minus 11 turnovers going into, like, the Oklahoma game. That's unheard of.
Well, and part of it that I've – you know, I've asked Jason about it a little bit, and we've talked about it a little. Look, the players and coaches are human too. They're just like us.
Yeah.
And they know what has been going on.
Oh yeah.
And they know how badly they need to win.
Yep.
And sometimes, I mean, the more you need to, the more you want it.
The pressure.
You know, people say, it was in the want to or something like that. Sometimes you want it so badly that you're tight. You're too tight. And you know, you can short arm a pass, or you can actually squeeze the ball too tight or something like that, because you're so concerned. It's like the playing, like Coach Freeze said, talking about playing and coaching not to lose. You want to make everything perfect,
right?
And if you're not being able to just do what you've either been coached or you've coached to do, and you're overthinking it or trying too hard, you can actually force some of those mistakes yourself because you're over trying.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it's almost a no-win situation.
Oh, you get in one of those situations.
It snowballs.
In any sport, you get in a slump.
Yeah.
And you try everything to get out of it.
You choke up.
You squeeze the bat tighter. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Move up in the box. Move out of the box.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing that, I mean, it happens in just about every facet of life, but it's so obvious
the mental part
in athletics.
The mental part, the mind will beat you many times.
Yep. Hey, appreciate the call, Josh. We'll get to our first break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Hey, Lee County. Chris Patton here to ask you for your vote for Lee County District Court Judge this November.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Again, Dan will be back tomorrow. And then And then Friday, we'll be at Sky Bar, and Don's going to be with us as well. I mentioned a little while ago, we might as well get some thoughts on some of the ball games this weekend. Mentioned that Missouri, after you know, after beating Auburn this past week, they're in Tuscaloosa this week against an Alabama team. Ooh. That their fans aren't thrilled with the way things are going either right now. Alabama's lost two of their last three, and including the loss this past week in Knoxville. And they didn't exactly, you know, run away from South Carolina. They could have lost that ball game as well.
Right. Yeah. it's not happy times in Tuscaloosa either. So I look for Alabama to bounce back, though. I just don't know how good Missouri is.
I don't either.
And, again, they could go up there and beat Alabama. Who knows?
I really wonder how the health of Brady Cook going right. in. I will say this, though. Luther Burden and Theo Weiss are a couple of guys that that can really be a problem for the Alabama secondary, which has been prone to giving up some big plays.
They have. I mean, that's shocking. You got Oklahoma at Ole Miss. Oklahoma's really struggling.
Yeah, they really are. They're a team that their offense is so bad that they fire their offensive coordinator midseason.
I know. And man, I hate stuff like that. But hey, then Texas goes to Vandy.
No, it's that ball game is in Austin.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh. Is it not?
I don't know.
No, you're right. It is at Vandy.
Oh, okay.
Vandy's got a chance again at home.
Maybe they'll get their scoreboard.
Regardless, I don't think they pull the miracle.
And the
this
one
time.
I'm really wanting to watch is along with the Auburn Kentucky game is LSU and Texas
that
A&M.
That is the only two teams without a loss in SEC play here.
Yeah, that's shocking.
As we head into the last weekend in October.
Yeah,
LSU. I know the kind of talent that they have on a yearly basis. Texas A&M, obviously, Jimbo had recruited well, but they had been so disappointing. Mike Elko comes in, and I just sort of thought of them as a middle of the pack type team. Maybe at the bottom of the upper level.
Right,
they've been much better than that.
Yeah, they've been a surprise. I think them and Vanderbilt, of course, of the league so far. You know, LSU's always going to have talent, like you said. Jimbo did recruit well. You know, sometimes it just takes a change of the staff, and whether it's good or bad, it has been positive for A&M.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a heck of a ball game. The fact that the ball game is at College Station, I probably give A&M the edge there. Mm-hmm. I think LSU top to bottom maybe a little more talented.
Right.
LSU's defense, I think, is still a little suspect.
Yeah. At times they look great. At times they don't look so great, like a lot of teams.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, I mean, for LSU, they haven't played offensive powerhouses lately. They did beat Ole Miss, but I thought Ole Miss had them most of the game.
Yeah.
So that one where LSU, it's sort of LSU is a team that expects to win and they're used to winning
and
those kind of
games. And
they
find a way where we're struggling to find a way. Exactly. And then, you know, Bill, we still got football every night. We got a couple of games tonight. You got Jacksonville State at Middle Tennessee and Liberty and Kennesaw State, which has not won a game, Kennesaw State.
Yeah, Liberty ought to be. Yeah. Caden Salter and company have put up some numbers.
So if you want like football, you can find it.
And then there is one other SEC game, the Mississippi State Arkansas game. And State's getting a little better offensively for sure.
Yeah, they've improved. You know, they looked so bad early in the year and people kind of just wrote them off. But they've played some people tough. And Arkansas, you know, who knows who's going to show up.
Yeah, that's right. And it's at Starkville.
Yeah, and that's a tough place, as you know, to go.
I mean, they may have a shot. Now, here's something, man. This would really hurt if State got an SEC win before Auburn did.
Let's don't talk about that. Well, wow. Yeah, but it could happen.
I mean, it could. I think, again, I like Arkansas yeah. in this ball game, but I wouldn't be stunned.
No,
if State were to pull out the win.
No, nothing surprises me this year in the SEC. It seems like,
or pretty much around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I don't know if we've talked about this, but it is a great year for the expanded playoff because there's so many teams.
Yes, still alive
that you see and go, wow, they'd have a chance yeah. against these other
yeah.
teams that you thought were even, at the top
even,
of the country.
Even like Clemson, we gave up for dead the first game.
Coming on.
Miami surprised mm-hmm. people.
Miami keeps, you know.
Man, that game against Louisville, it was wild, the third quarter. My goodness.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, I wanted it to just keep going. I wanted yeah. it, you know. Let's see more points.
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, anybody could get in that playoff and have a chance to win it.
Yeah,
Notre Dame's got one loss, which I didn't think was a very good team.
They're at Navy this week.
Yeah, and how about the academies?
Army and Navy unbeaten. If Navy beats Notre Dame, they'll be unbeaten.
That's unbelievable.
By Thanksgiving
they play an Army Navy game in December. How cool yeah. would that be?
It would be. Wouldn't it be wild if both of those teams are unbeaten? If they're unbeaten, then they're playing yeah. for the playoff.
Right. Right.
And so that's wild. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that Navy is going to be able to knock off Notre Dame, but I'm pulling for them.
Oh, me too. I'm always for anybody's playing Notre Dame.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that's as crazy as college football is this year. I mean,
who knows?
Don't count it out.
That's right.
All right. We're a couple of minutes away from the bottom of the hour. Again, we've got Tiger Takes with Eugene Asante coming up in just a few minutes, and then we'll have one more segment after that for you to be able to join us. Again, the number is 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, or you can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and that number is 334-564-1840. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
6-7.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn with you here in the studio. Drew at the controls for about another 25 minutes or so. But it's the final half hour of the show here on this Wednesday, and that means it's time for Tiger Takes with Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante. And Tiger Takes brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Visit them today at 217 North College Street or book online at 12ksalon.net.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, sitting down for our weekly interview with Auburn football linebacker Eugene Asante for Tiger Takes. It's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Make your next appointment at 12ksalon.net. Eugene, thanks so much for your time again this week, my man. I know it's been tough sledding for the team and everything, but it's crazy to see just how fast the college football season has gone by so far.
Yes, sir. I felt like it was just remember getting into the season early on, and now we're seven games into the season. So it's been, you know, like we said, a roller coaster, and biggest thing is trying to weather the storm.
Well, another tough loss over the weekend as you guys went on the road to Columbia, Missouri, and fell 21-17. And before we get into the game in particular, you guys were coming off of a bye week, and Coach Freeze told the media that there were some changes that were made in terms of the practice schedule and the routine and how things were going. What did that look like for you and the team in terms of all the changes that were made during the bye week?
So I think Coach Freeze did a good job on the bye week, trying to, first and foremost, try to help the guys that were banged up get back healthy, take care of their bodies, just be in the training room and get that extensive care. And then on top of that, it was the preparation. We understand that we had more practices to go out there and prepare for the Missouri game. So we wanted to have a physical day of practice coming in, going in and putting our nose to the grindstone and just working. Understand that, you know, we haven't been getting the results that we want, but we have to work. We have to work, and we can't lose sight of that. And the only way, there's no magic potion to what we're chasing. We just have to work for what we want. And went in practice, had a physical practice, and I felt like that week was our best week of preparation so far. Everybody was dialed in. understanding what they had to do, focused, and it just, you know, weren't able to get the results that we desired. I think a lot of it falls on myself, trying to lead the guys in a better direction, trying to get them to understand it from my perspective, and trying to get the team to my urgency level. You know, I understand that I have five games, guaranteed games in my college career. So trying to build the urgency with the freshmen, with the sophomores, with the juniors, to understand that this game, that you have to have a sense of urgency in that. And that will propel us to what we need to be. So I'm trying to lead the team in the right way and hopefully develop into victories for our team.
Man, I know you were just saying there are five games remaining in what could be the end of your college career. Of course, future, you know, not sure what that holds. But, I mean, that's got to be a surreal thing to sit back and think about for a second, huh? You've been playing college football for quite some time, my man.
Yes, sir. And it's, as one chapter closes, another one opens. And, you know, truthfully and honestly, just trying to embrace it as much as possible. You know, sometimes you do take it for granted. You know, when it's a hot day, you're out there practicing, or it's a summer workout, you know, you take it for granted. And, you know, just these past couple of days, I've been trying to really hone in on it and just live every single day in that moment. Today, quite frankly, I woke up a little bit earlier. We had meetings 6:45. I woke up at 4 and got into the building about 5 o'clock. So just trying to, you know, embrace it and put, you know, this is my last 5 weeks of trying to put my best foot forward. And I'm just sitting here trying to pondering if we had a team full of that, you know, how successful we could be. So just trying to bring that urgency to the team and propel us this week versus Kentucky.
Well, you had a good individual game on Saturday, 7 total tackles, 6 of those solo. Also got 2 sacks and 2 tackles for loss. I mean, what were you seeing from the Missouri offense that allowed you to have one of your best games of the season?
Yeah, I think in terms of how I personally did, I think they were identifying me in the protection schemes and anticipating me coming off the edge and blitzing. And, I was able to get a sack right before half, where, it was man-to-man on the back, and quarterback got off the spot due to a great rush by Quintrell Jamison Travis, our defensive tackle, and just playing fast and being able to get off the running back and get to the quarterback as fast as possible. Was able to get a sack towards the later end of the part of the game on an interior pressure, just trying to be fast in my blitzes and trust what I see in practice and trust all the things that our coaches are teaching me. So I felt like it was a better game for me individually. But just trying to corral the guys and, being out there, trying to, propel our team to do better. And that starts with my leadership, it was commanding it, speaking truth and speaking confidence into our guys and, demanding out of our guys and not telling, not being comfortable being up 17 to 3 or whatever it was at the time, just demanding excellence out of all of them in key situations.
You and I have had several conversations over the last couple of years when you've been our Tiger Takes guest, Eugene. We've had several conversations about playing against multiple quarterbacks in the same game, and that was the case again this Saturday against Missouri. Of course, Brady Cook getting the start, goes out with an injury. I'm sure you've seen the stories by now where went to the hospital to get checked up, came back and finished the game, but you guys had to play against Brady Cook and against Drew Pine. I just know that can't be easy to just have to switch everything and try to figure out a brand new quarterback in the middle of a football game.
Yeah, certainly. It's certainly not easy thing, but that's the role that we are entrusted in, and we have to embrace those roles and, get the job done. We understand what Brady Cook was as a passer, very dynamic in the pass game, as a capable runner as well. And then on top of that, having Drew come in, who was, more of a running type quarterback, able to make things happen with his legs, still had that throwing capability, just had to adjust to it, on the sideline and be prepared for what he brought to that offense. And, And when Brady came back, certainly gave them a spark on the offensive side. And, you know, the guys, their guys kind of rallied around him coming back. And, you know, quite frankly, we didn't answer the bell. That's on me and our leaders to figure out why we didn't figure that out within the game and not allow that to happen in the future games.
Auburn football linebacker Eugene Asante joining us here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes. It's every single week here on ESPN, brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. A quote that Coach had earlier this week during his weekly press conference said that he feels that the team sometimes plays to not lose rather than to win. And he also was admitted that he said sometimes they coach that way too. Do you feel that in the games, Eugene? I know that's a hard question, but do you feel that tenseness at times where it's like, okay, let's hope we don't lose rather than, hey, let's try to go put this thing away?
Yeah, I agree with him totally. I do think naturally, you know, that is that's the human response. In adverse situations, people tend to freeze up and to tense up in those moments. And, you know, I think it's a hard thing for our guys. We're currently battling it, trying to get ourselves more prepared in those situations, just to be able to remain composed. You know, Kobe Bryant talks about it a lot, you know, talking about pressure is all in the mind and being able to control your mind is the strongest tool that you have. And, you know, I think those are the biggest things that we're trying to teach and develop, you know, not even just the physical part of the game of football. Physical part is one thing, but then the mental component of understanding your job, doing your job. Oh, we're in a tight game. We're at Missouri. We're on the road. They're a ranked opponent. Being able to flip the switch and say, hey guys, you know, we're on the field. And the crowd is going wild. The situation is adverse, but we're not going to adhere or them to the pressure. And we're going to go full throttle and play loose and free and play free football. And that's ultimately when you make the plays. I've seen it in my own personal life. When I'm uptight or tense, I don't tend to make the plays that come my way. So just remaining calm in those situations and understanding that we've been in a situation like that before and just handle it the right way.
This team's still looking for a win in the SEC, but you've got a great chance to do it again this weekend as you guys head up to Lexington to take on Kentucky there on the road Saturday night. It's going to be a kickoff under the lights there in Lexington. And Eugene, you're going up against an offense in Kentucky that in Power 4 football this year has yet to score more than 20 points a game. Their defense is what they are highlighted by and something that they really hang their hat on. But what can you tell us about what we can expect to see from this Kentucky offense come Saturday night there in Lexington?
Yeah, their dynamic quarterback, Brock Vandergriff, number 12, does a really good job of distributing the ball to his playmakers. They got a dynamic playmaker, number 7, who's their return man and the receiver. He's certainly somebody that gets it going in the return game, and we've been keyed in on the return game to try to neutralize him and his abilities. And certainly somebody that is great competition. Probably, truthfully and honestly, the best return man in the SEC. So just being able to be on units where I can be a part of trying to neutralize him, I admire going against elite competition. Great running backs as well. Have a stable of running backs that are capable runners and powerful guys, more balanced guys on what they do, and have great speed and lower their shoulder on contact. So, and it'll be a great matchup with their tight ends. Jordan Dingle, I actually met at the SEC Leadership Council meeting.
Okay.
Certainly somebody that is a great player at their tight end spot and is a capable pass catcher. So just going against them, you know, I'm excited for the challenge that they bring offensively. And I'm going to embrace it this whole week and just be locked in with my preparation.
And it just seems like you guys you're just a win away, right? It seems if you get that win under your belt, things could turn, and there are still winnable games on this schedule. I think a lot of people would argue they're all winnable on the remaining of your schedule. And I know you guys try not to look ahead, but is that the feeling inside the locker room? Is like, man, if we just get one, right? If we just get that one, we feel like we can build on that and maybe turn this thing around.
Yes, sir. Certainly. And I think, everything you're saying is how we feel and what we're trying to embody. Just understanding that it's been hard to deal with, you know, these situations, these losses, the way that they have transpired is hard to deal with. But understanding if we get one, we get that momentum, just build upon that and be able to, you know, just build the confidence within ourselves. You know, sometimes as a player, when things are not going your way and you tend to look inward and their self-doubt creeps in, and that's the human factor. But just having that one victory will propel you and just be like, man, we can do it. I understand we can do it. We've done it against this team. So just carrying that and praying for that this weekend.
One more thing before we let you get out of here. More and more snaps for young guys, especially on the defensive side of the football, something you and I have talked about in recent weeks, but continues to be a growing trend. And you got to be impressed with what those guys are doing, whether it's in the linebacker spot with you or in the back end. I mean, a lot of impressive young guys on that defensive side of the football, Eugene.
Yeah, a lot of them doing a great thing. Jay Crawford certainly had an amazing game, being able to come in as a true freshman, holding it down in the back end. You know, DeMarcus Riddick coming in on third down, being able to flush the quarterback in all situations and get him off the spot. Having those guys, and I know I'm leaving some guys out, Malik Blockton, who's been was able to get a sack in the game, was able to just continue to fly pressure to the quarterback, and he was doing some great things in terms of the running game. So just having those three go out there and play the way they did, I'm proud of them. I continue to try to advocate that to them. Anytime I see them, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of how they prepare. I'm proud of just the way that they handle themselves as true freshmen, as mature people that want to play the game of football and want to play at a high level.
Auburn football linebacker Eugene Asante. He joins us every week here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes. It's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Make your next reservation at 12ksalon.net. Eugene, thanks so much again for the time. And as always, War Eagle.
War Eagle. Thank you.
And once again, yes, thanks to 12K Salon for sponsoring Tiger Takes every Wednesday afternoon at 5:30. You can call to book your next appointment at 334-209-2900. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in with Bill and Don here on the Wednesday Drive.
In September, Hurricane Helene
at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Wednesday, and let's get back to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar and Mitch. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. I got a football question, but first I wanted to, I was looking at my calendar, kind of a sad day today. 41 years ago today, the Marine barracks got blown up in Beirut.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A real good friend of mine from the military, who passed away on August 1st, was there as a 19-year-old Marine.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when he passed away on August 1st, it was actually my 10-year anniversary of retiring. So, today's kind of tough for me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's in a better place, and, Rob did bring up JV football, and Bill, when
no, actually, I brought that up, but whatever.
you did, but he was asking when it ended.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, the end really for SEC schools playing JV football on a regular basis came in the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
Because I did... I'm trying to remember exactly what year it was, because I did play-by-play for Auburn JV football for a couple of years. But it was it ended early on in Coach Dye's time.
Right.
Because it just became too much of a problem. You had to be concerned about who had played in how many JV games so they could dress out and play in varsity games, because you played an 11-game varsity regular season and they couldn't still players couldn't play in more than 11 games,
right,
including the JV games. And it became, you know, who was going to coach them? Was it taking away from game prep for the regular games? Things like that, and just finding teams to play
exactly
was another problem. But Don, yeah, Jason reminded us of a one-time JV game that Auburn had, yeah, when you guys were
school,
here.
Yeah, that was on a Thursday in between, I think it was open date, and we played them on a Thursday night, but it was Hargrave military school. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think I think about 1985 or 84, because I was a GA at Tennessee, and we did play a couple of JV games in 84.
Okay, well, what I remember is I went with my uncle, and I guess it was on a Sunday. It was at Jordan-Hare, and we played Alabama. And I looked, and I was like, I thought we always played Alabama at Legion Field.
No, they played the JV games on campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. So you know, I'd never seen Alabama in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So it was kind of a shock to me.
That's funny.
But then I've also seen some pictures, and, Bill, you might know, didn't they used to play at Fort Benning?
Yes, indeed.
Some of the soldiers.
Indeed, I'm trying to remember the quarterback who played. There was a quarterback who played for one of the service academies who was there, stationed at Fort Benning, and lit Auburn up when when we went over there. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, if you could find out what year that is, because I've seen some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. But I'll let you guys go. War Eagle.
Great hearing from you, Mitch. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I was just trying to look it up and see.